for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday evening service of July the 4th, 1999, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the evening. Should this tape for any reason prove to be defective, please explain and return for replacement. Thank you.
Here for several years. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma area. That's been his home for about 20 years. Just happened that he just lives at the Holy City. It wasn't on purpose, just happened to be. But Tommy is a teacher, and the Lord moves upon him with prophetic word, and we just appreciate the ministry of Brother Tommy and his wife Wanda, and them coming to help us almost every camp meeting. I count on him and twist his arm, but he's faithful. Brother Tommy.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we live in America. We thank you, Lord, for freedom and liberty. Lord, first in our nation, but Lord God, we thank you even more than that, the liberty that's in the Holy Ghost tonight. And Father, we ask you to bless this service, this meeting, the word that goes forth, Lord. We're nothing apart from you. We submit to the Holy Spirit. We ask you, quicken us. You said in light we would see light. And so, Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. We bless your people, Father, and we ask the word of God to touch each heart tonight in Jesus' name. And we all said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I want my wife to stand. Some of you don't want my wife. I want her to stand tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Some of you don't know, we have books on the back of the table and a few tapes. These are my last two little booklets we put out on the man-child of Revelation 12 and the inward and outward resurrection. And that's a good little book right there. They're both good. So if you want to get them back there, they're on a free will offering basis. If you don't have anything, take them. Praise the Lord. We want to bless the body of Christ with the word of God. How many's ready for the word tonight? We had a good word this morning. How many enjoyed Chris's word this morning? Praise the Lord. And Doc shared this afternoon. I didn't get to hear all of Brother Doc's word today, but I heard part of it there at the end when he was casting the devils out. I mean, there was a lot of good deliverance, wasn't there? Praise God. How many thank God for deliverance tonight? We all need it, don't we? How many need deliverance in your own life? We all know, don't we? Praise God. I want us to turn tonight to Ezekiel chapter 9. We'll start there, and where we'll finish, I don't know. I know, that's Gwen's chapter. Chapter 9 of Ezekiel. Now, before we go on to 9, look in 8. Look in chapter 8, verse 1. And notice this scripture. It's a different scripture. It says, it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day. Now, how many see something there? 6, 6, 5. How many thank God for 5? The grace of God. And 5 is a ministry. And I want to tell you that one day before the destruction came, God marked his people. And right before destruction comes in the earth, God is marking his people. How many want God's mark? I know there's the mark of the beast, and I used to preach a lot on it, but I preach more on the mark of God now than do the mark of the beast.
Amen.
And not that we ignore that, but the mark of God is what's important. Can you say amen? Now, when God leaves the mercy seat and comes outside to the outer court, it means judgment. I'm going to say that again. When God leaves the mercy seat and comes out into the outer court, it means judgment. Can you hear that? It means there's going to be death and destruction. And the glory of God, we know in this chapter, lifted up from where it was. And it came out in the outer court to the threshold of the house, the Bible says. And that was among the people. And some were marked and some were not marked. Now in chapter 9, let's look here also in verse 1. Praise God. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate. Now, six is a number of what? Come on, help me. Number of man, isn't it? How many know destruction's coming from man? How many know man has the capability to destroy today? And let me tell you, it's going to happen in a certain measure. But he says here, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. Now, he said that in verse 1. He said it in verse 2. Again, he repeats himself. Then he said, and one man among them was clothed with linen. Now, this is the overcomer. This is the one that's clothed with righteousness. And how many thank God he's raising a man up? A corporate man. We saw that last night in Ephesians, didn't we? He said, with the rider's ink horn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Brazen or brass speaks of judgment. And that was in the outer court. And that's where they're standing. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub. See, there he left. He moved out of that holy of holies from that mercy seat. Wherever he was, to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's ink horn by his side, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. We know there's natural Jerusalem today. How many thank God we need to pray for natural Jerusalem? But also there is spiritual Jerusalem, isn't there? How many know judgment starts today where? Come on, help me. The house of God. Is that you and me? Amen. And then he said, set a mark. And that word mark in Job 31:35, it's only used one other time, it means desire. Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And Ezekiel was taken in the chapter 8 and saw all these abominations there in the house of God, in the city. And so those that are sighing and crying against those abominations, he said, you mark those people. How many believe that's God's intercessors? I want to tell you, not everybody's an intercessor in the church today. How many know it's work? Is that right? How many know an intercessor takes the place of another? And I'll tell you, the greatest intercessor in us is the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Isn't he? He is the intercessor in us. And so all that sigh and cry, he said, you mark those. Verse 5. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go you after him. After he marks the people through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Say, utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. And then at the ancients as well, he said. And so you go ahead on and read the rest of that, and you see that God's judgment came. God's mark is going forth today. God's mark. And woe to the people of God. Now, hear what I'm saying. Woe to the people of God who do not receive that mark, because God is going to give them over unto destruction. Now, let's go to Revelation 11. How many know that we have to be marked in this hour? It's a must that we be marked by God. In Exodus, there were three sealings. There was a sealing on the shoulders of the high priest. There was a sealing in the breastplate, in the heart. And the final sealing was on the mitre, which said, holiness to the Lord. And the final seal that we must receive is in our soul today. Now, in Revelation 11, let's look at this. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. We know that's the people of God, isn't it? We're not talking about a natural temple. We're talking about the temple of God, who is you and I. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, and the altar, and them that worship therein. I brought this out last night. Those that are worshiping are measured. Verse 2. But the court that's without this temple, leave it out. Measure it not. It is given to the Gentiles and the holy city. Now, I'm not talking about Jerusalem now. The holy city shall they tread underfoot. How long? 3.5 years. I'm not saying there's not going to be war and trouble in Jerusalem. But I'm saying here that he's talking about his people. 3.5 years. That outer court people will be tread down. Now, in the midst of that people being tread down, how many know God has another people hid in the wilderness? And God has a people that's going to minister to that woman in the wilderness, okay? And they're going to be prophesying judgments here on the earth. Let me tell you something. The overcomers are going to bring judgment on the earth. The tribulation is coming. How many know the devil is coming at the people of God? But let me say it this way. The overcomers are going to bring tribulation on the earth. And because of them rising up in Almighty God, the tribulation is coming on the scene. The devil wants to stop what God's doing, but how many know he's not going to do it? Come on now. Amen? He's not going to do it. Now, the destruction's coming. And it's going to be a blessing for some to die. Now, hear me. It's going to be a blessing for some to die than face the tribulation. Now, look in Revelation 14. Look at Revelation 14. Look at verse 12. He said in chapter 14, verse 12, here is the patience or the persistence of the saints. How many know we need a lot more of that today? Here are they that keep the commandments of God. What is the commandments of God? It's the whole Word of God, isn't it? It's saints. And what else do they keep? Come on. The faith of Jesus. How many want His faith? You don't want my faith, you want His faith. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed, to be envious, happy, fortunate, prosperous, are the dead which die where? If you're going to die, die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So he said, John said, that one of the seven blessings of Revelation were those who would die and would be blessed. And so it'll be so terrible on many, but death will be a blessing to many. Can you hear that? Do you believe that? Now, I tell you, brethren, midnight is coming. Do you believe that? Judgments are coming. Tribulation is coming. Darkness is coming. But how many know at the same time? Jesus is coming within His temple. Hallelujah. How many believe that? And the Bible says this. The Bible says this. And the Lord whom you seek. Did you hear that? Whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. Now we know His mother and father, earthly father, brought Him into the temple when He was a baby to be dedicated. We know He walked in the temple when He began the ministry and cleaned the temple out. In fact, He cleaned the temple out twice. Not once, twice. And then at Pentecost, I mean, oh, the Spirit came suddenly and quickly on the day of Pentecost. And in our day, hallelujah, right at midnight, that fullness is going to descend into His temple again. Hallelujah. Quickly and suddenly. Can you hear that? Can somebody say amen? And so I believe that the hour when man can destroy the world, actually the world, God will suddenly descend into His temple in the fullness, in the overcomers, and those who are ready, who are wise virgins. Now go to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24 in the New Testament. Praise God. You know, brother, the message I preach, many don't understand it, and many times they stood against me. They're not standing against me. How many know they're standing against the Lord? But I tell you, God gave me this message even starting as a child. And He's continued to develop this word in me. And I love this overcoming word. Hallelujah. Because we've come to the place where we're going to have to overcome many obstacles. Amen? And the Lord in this is going to help us. Chapter 24. Now I want to go to chapter 24. And I want to go down to verses 21, I think it is. Look at 21. Here in the scriptures. Praise God. All right. It says in this verse, "For then shall be great tribulation." What kind of tribulation? "Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days of tribulation should be" what? "Should be shortened." How many see that word, shortened? Mm-hmm. You know what that means? Reduced or decreased in number. "Except those days be shortened," he says, "there should no flesh..." I mean, oh, this is flesh tonight. You got some hanging on you, too. "No flesh would be" what? "Saved." No flesh. You know why? The devil would kill, destroy every one of us. I mean, he'd like to do that. But he says in this verse, hallelujah, "But for the elect's sake, the chosen, those days shall be shortened." Praise God. What does that mean? That simply means that the elect of God will stop the total annihilation. I mean, oh, God's power can stop the atomic bombs. Come on, it can stop nuclear power. It can stop any kind of power out there. Is that right? And God's spirit, God's power will do that in his elect. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we know the Lord is coming to his fullness in his temple. Now, when is he coming? He's coming right at midnight. He's coming right at the time of destruction. He's coming right at the time of great judgment. He's going to descend into his people. Hallelujah. And I hope I'm one of them. How about you? The fullness. Amen? How many know he's coming every day in us as we submit to him? It's happening now. It's not just way out in the future. It's happening already. But the fullness of that will yet happen. Praise God. And so God is going to activate his army, his body, literally to save the world, if I can say that, from total annihilation and from the destruction of the world that the devil and man is planning. And as our brother said tonight, our nation is in danger. Our nation is in danger of destruction. I may believe we do need to intercede and pray as the Spirit of God directs us. Amen? Now let's go back here to Ezekiel 9, just a second. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 9. Now did you notice what it said in Ezekiel 9, in verse 1? This one had, every man had a destroying weapon, right? And then in verse 2, there was a slaughter weapon. Now back there, how many know the weapon was a natural sword, a physical sword? But today, how many know that man has the power to destroy with nuclear power, atomic power, biological warfare, germ warfare, all those things we have? You have to upgrade the armament. And you have two choices right here in this chapter. Two choices only. You know what the two choices are? It is deliverance by having God's mark, or it's death. Deliverance or death. I mean, no, that's a strong word. Now, what does it mean to be sealed? What is the meaning of the word seal? It means a signet. The word seal means a signet. As fencing in protecting from misappropriation. It means a stamp impressed as a mark of privacy or genuineness. Why? Let's go to Revelation 7 before I ask that question. Revelation 7. I want to ask you some questions here. How many know God's sealing the people here in 7 and in 14? Now let's read the scripture here. "And after these things I saw" how many angels? "Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God and their foreheads.
And I heard the number of them that was sealed. And, of course, he says the number was how many? 144,000. Praise God. Now, why was the people of God sealed here in chapter 7? Why were they sealed? Look in verse 1. Why were they sealed? From the destruction. Is that right? Somebody talk to me out there. It says, I saw these four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor the, any tree. And there's a message in all that. And so they were held back. Is that true? So judgment was held back. Why was judgment held? Until God sealed or marked his people. In Ezekiel, when God's people were marked, then the others could come and destroy. Noah, right before the ark, right before the flood, God sealed the ark. And how many know there was protection for the family? Amen? Right before destruction. All right, second thing is, how many angels were holding back this destruction? What's four a number of? The world, creation, and the earth, and so forth. And they were holding back this destruction. Number three, who was doing the sealing here? Who was doing the sealing? Let's look at the verse. In verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we. How many see that little word, we? Now, how many know the Holy Ghost is doing the sealing, but he's going to do it through people? He's going to use some people, isn't he? He is the sealer, but I tell you, he's going to use men. And that little word, we, is the fifth angel. Five is the number of grace, but five is the number of the ministry. There's a ministry with a message of sealing the people of God, if they'll hear it. Can you hear that today? He said, saying, hurt not the earth, the trees, and sea, all those things, till we've sealed, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Hallelujah. I thank God for the seal tonight that he's working in our mind. Amen? Mind of the Lord. All right, number four. What was the seal called? It's the seal of the living God. God is a spirit, isn't he? It's the seal of the spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And so, it's the seal of the Father's nature. Number five, who was sealed? There you go. The servant of our God. Those love slaves, even unto death. That's the one Jezebel hates. She tries to kill. God loves his servants, doesn't he? He loves his bond slaves. And so the bond slaves were sealed by God. How many were sealed? 144,000. But if you look in the Greek, it's 144,000. It's in the plural. I looked again this week. And by the way, when he says, uses these tribes, when he says 12,000, it's 12,000. It's more than a natural, brethren. It's not a natural number. It's a symbolical number. And I'm not going to get into that tonight. Praise God. Now, number seven, which way was the sealing coming from? This angel was coming from the east. East is where the sun comes up, right? Hallelujah. Coming from light, bringing light, imparting light. You remember it's called the seal of the living God. It's life. I want to be sealed by life, don't you? Jesus is the way, come on, the truth, the life. God is a spirit. And so, the seal of the living God. God's a spirit. God is light. God is the word. God is love. God's a consuming fire. God is a kingdom. I mean, it's a kingdom principle we're talking about right here. Of being sealed. Hallelujah. Now, you ever heard of the good housekeeping seal? I mean, old ranchers brand their cattle. Lumbermen brand their logs. Much of the medicine we get today, they have a seal around it. Things you go in the drugstore and buy today. I mean, it's sometimes hard to get it off. Look in 2 Timothy just a minute. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:19, it says this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
And I thank God for that foundation. That's Jesus. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And what I see here with this seal, two things. How many believe, number one, it's ownership. He owns you and I. Is that right? The Lord knoweth those of them that are his. And then number two, the second thing is holiness. Because let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Lawlessness and rebellion. That's right, Glenn. How many know if we're going to be sealed by God, we've got to let take all the rebellion out of us. You know what first fruits are? You know what the overcomer is? He's one that submitted to God and allowed God to take all that rebellion out of him. How many know it's a process? A lot of us denying your flesh, a lot of us having spirits cast out. There's many ways we could go into this and talk about that. Praise God. But how many know we've got to get it out regardless? Isn't that right? Look in John 6. John chapter 6 in the New Testament. And I want to look at verse 27. Praise God. John 6, 27 says this: labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. How many know the Father sealed Jesus? How many believe the Father is sealing us as we submit to him? You believe that? All right, let me give you a couple more scriptures. Go to Ephesians. Let's look at two scriptures in Ephesians. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit promise, which is the earnest.
Now I can preach.
Oh, no.
After that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit, a promise which is the earnest. The word earnest means down payment. It's foretaste. How many believe the whole candy bar is coming yet? We've only had a bite, hadn't we? Only had a suspension. We've only had the earnest of the down payment. But thank God the fullness is coming. Isn't that right? We've only tasted the power of the world to come. We've only tasted, hallelujah, of the powers of the world to come. So he said we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, look in chapter 4, verse 30. Chapter 4, verse 30 says this: and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Remember those eight things I told you last night we can do? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of what? Come on. Redemption of what? Your body. You see all these things. Jesus said, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What redemption? Your body redemption. But it starts in our spirit. It moves to our soul. And then it comes into our body. First of all, come on, justification, sanctification, glorification. Isn't that right? I go into those threes. He's given me a lot of those threes. I have 75 of those threes he's given. How many of the Lord speaks in threes? I'll show you this in Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs. I'm going to take my time tonight by the Lord. Help. Irma's laughing. Okay, chapter 21. Chapter 22. Look in chapter 22, verse 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? How many see that verse? That word excellent things means threefold. So let's read it this way. Have not I written to thee in threefold things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Let me know there's natural meanings of the Scripture, there's spiritual meanings of the Scripture, and there's a fullness. Let's take the rest. Let's take the word rest. Let me know there's a natural rest for this natural body. And then there's a spiritual rest, the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. This is the rest. That he gives to the weary. Isn't that right? And so forth, Isaiah 28 says. But the final rest will be the 1,000-year reign with Christ. That's the fullness. Now, a lot of times we're looking at the word only in one dimension. It has many dimensions, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Now, look at one more scripture here just a second on the seal. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Thank you, Lord. You know, a lot of people just see America's Babylon. I want to tell you something. America's world, Babylon's worldwide. I mean, America is Babylon. Huh? But I'm telling you, Babylon's worldwide. Armageddon's going to be worldwide. Oh, my. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he who established us with you as in, is you in Christ, hath anointed us as God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest, there's that down payment, of the Spirit, where? In our hearts. But, how many know now he wants to change our soul? Huh? Now look in 2 Corinthians 3, over, just turn over the page there, and look at verse 17 and 18. Now the Spirit is the Lord, or the Lord is that Spirit, excuse me, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. Now, but we all, how many know Paul was a southerner? South Tarshish, okay? But we all with open face beholding or reflecting as in a glass. Come on. The glory of the Lord are changed, transfigured, transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what is being changed there? That's your soul. This is the soul change. And how's that happening? How's that soul change taking place? From glory to glory by the, come on, help me, Spirit. So the Spirit is bringing us into that image or likeness. Now look in chapter 4. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, notice, glorious gospel, got some glory with it, of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How are we changed? I'll tell you, by the Spirit and by the Word. That's how you're being changed, or the anointed Word. Can you hear that? Now, how many know that, how many's ever canned food years ago when you lived out in the country? Or wherever you lived? Praise God. How many know you had to have some hot jars? A lot of water. But how many know with that hot jar and a lot of water, there was a lot of pressure involved? Was it a pressure? Some of them old cookers want to blow their lid, didn't they? Come on. And fourthly, there was something sealed in and something sealed out. And God is putting something in and God's taking a lot of things out, isn't he? Of you. But how many of you is doing it with pressure? There's some pressure points. Now, the mind of the Father was in Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? Jesus did those things that pleased the Father. Jesus was full of the Spirit without measure. Jesus had the protection of the Father. There was a total immunity from the Father. Nothing could destroy him until he willingly laid down his life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. He was sinless. He was one with the Father. He was led of the Holy Ghost. And he was sealed by the Father God. Praise God. And so in this sealing, now hear this, I'm just going to touch on one of them. In this sealing, there is provision, there is protection, and there is power. I'm going to say that again. This final sealing we're coming up to, there is provision, there is protection, and there's power. Now, how many know that Ezekiel 9, we saw a people protected there when they were sealed. Isn't that right? We just read it a while ago. Now, look in Revelation 9. Revelation 9. Hallelujah. Revelation 9, verse 4. Anybody want God's seal tonight? Anybody want his protection tonight? And it was commanded them, these locusts that came out of the bottomless pit, these demonic powers, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor the green thing, neither any tree, but only those men. Look at that. Only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. How many see that? How many of those devils know it's when you're sealed? They will see it in your forehead. Are you hearing me? And where was that? Where was that seal? Come on. In their minds. Now go to Revelation 22. Hallelujah. Verse 4, 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse. Did you hear that? But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Who's going to serve him? His servants that's sealed. Remember, we saw that. And they shall see his face. His name or nature shall be in their foreheads. Hallelujah. I don't get you excited. How many's never heard this message before? I want you to raise your hand. Look at there. Dear Lord, what church you go to? Praise God. We need to hear the overcoming message, don't we? All of us. Praise God. The Father's nature, we have to have that. Now turn to Revelation 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. You know that some churches don't think Bible prophecy is worth listening to? You know, if you read the book of Revelation, you get a blessing. If you hear it, you get a blessing. If you do it, you really get a blessing. In Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh, here's a triple ceiling, will I make a pillar. How many know the pillar holds the building up? Make a pillar where? In the temple of my God. We're not talking about a natural building. We're talking about the real body of Christ. And he shall go no more out, which means he's secure, man. He's stable there. He's not wishy-washy up and down one day. You ever been there? And I will write upon him, that overcomer, that pillar, the name or the nature of my God, number one. Number two, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And three, I will write upon him my new name. How many see that? Now look in 2:17 of Revelation. 2:17 of Revelation. He that hath an ear. How many's got an ear tonight? I'm just talking about these. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone what? Come on. A new name written. Now Jesus said, I'm going to give him my new name. Let's go to Revelation 19. Oh, I love to teach these things, even though my Bible's falling apart. Revelation 19:11. I got other good Bibles. I just don't know why I don't bring them. Verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Now, I'm going to throw a bombshell on some of you that's maybe come up the way I did. I was always taught in Revelation 6 the white horse was the Antichrist. Anybody ever been taught that? The white horse is not Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, all this white is pure. There's no demons, no sin, whatever. Chapter 6 goes with chapter 19 right here. And here in chapter 19, he saw heaven open, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were what? Come on. Many crowns. He had a name. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he said, I'm going to give you that name, didn't he? Now look at the next verse. What is that? He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? Come on. What's he putting in you? The Word of God. What is that white horse rider in chapter 6? The Word of God. Going forth to his overcomers. He's put it in them. Hallelujah. I mean, thank God the Word and the Spirit's working. That anointed Word. Glory be to Jesus. And so, we know in chapter 14 also that they're sealed here. Look in chapter 14 now. God's overcomers. Once you begin to see the overcomer in the book of Revelation, you see how important it is. To study the overcomer and to become one. Amen? And I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion, that word means the church militant and triumphant, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the elders, and no man can learn that song. No man can learn that song. Now, Jesus said this, come unto me, all ye that labor, come on, heavy laden, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you rest. How many know the blood gave us rest? By the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus, he gave us rest. Then he didn't stop there. He said, take my yoke, which is an act of your will. Take my yoke upon you. And he didn't stop there. And learn of me. Anybody want to learn about Jesus tonight? We learn about everything else. It's time to learn about Jesus. Then he said, then, thank you, brother, then you shall find rest for your soul. First, the rest is for the believer. The last rest is for a disciple. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The first rest is in your spirit. The second rest is in your soul. The first rest was given to you by the blood of Jesus. And the next rest can only come as you take that yoke and learn of Him. Are you hearing me? My yoke is easy, he said. My burden is light. Now, how many believe the Lord's doing a work in us? Praise God. Jesus is doing a work in us. Now, if you are not walking in that initial rest, and you try to take that yoke without walking in that rest, how many know you'll have a tiger in your tank? Isn't that right? You can't do it. But as you walk in that initial rest that He gives you and He gives me, then we're able, by an act of our will, to take that yoke and to begin to learn of Him. Praise God. And that word where it says my yoke is easy, it means good. It means my yoke is goodness. It means my yoke is better. My yoke is gracious. My yoke is good. And my yoke is kind. I mean, I believe every bit of that. I believe it. Now, what am I saying? In Revelation 14, it says, no man can learn that song. How many has ever saw that back there, Paul? No man can learn that song but who? 144,000. Which means this. Yes, they are overcomers. Which means they had literally taken that rest that He had given them by His blood, by His grace. They had literally taken the yoke. They had learned of Him. And they found the rest because they were sealed in their foreheads. Let me understand what I'm talking about. I was never taught, I said this last night, I was never taught a word on the overcomer in Bible college. I had a great Bible college I went to. I threw all my notes on Revelation away. Because God retaught me. How many believe that we need some to be retaught in some areas? Are we willing to be retaught? I hope we are. Praise God. Another definition of the sealing is means an emblem of ownership and security combined with that also of destination. Those who will be sealed will be secured from destruction and marked for reward. Those who have the mind of the living God in their foreheads are those who have the Father's name in their foreheads. To have the Father's name is to have the Father's mind. For none can use the Father's name but those who have His mind. Anybody want His mind? Paul said, let this mind, come on, help me, be in where in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind that was in Jesus, the mind that was in Jesus was the mind of our Father. Hallelujah. You believe that? I'm sorry. Praise God. Okay. But how many know we're not walking as we should? Amen. It is true what you said, sister. Let us not forget, though, the Father's mind dwelt in the this above all else that made Him one with the Father. Their purpose were identical because their minds were identical. Their works were the same because their mind was identical. Their unity, Chris talked about unity this morning. Their unity was perfect because their minds were perfect. And because they had the same mind indwelling in both. And that one mind was the mind of the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus said, me and my Father are what? Come on. One. Amen. And God is bringing forth unity in the sons. Amen. Because the Father's mind is coming into them and working in them and through them. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. When the heart begins to cry out, thy will be done. Who's ever done that? When the heart begins to cry out, thy will be done, the mind of Christ begins to form in you. Amen. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's what Jesus said in Psalm 40. How many thank God for that? Now, how many know you're not going to reach that blessed goal of the full mind of Christ without a struggle? Is that true? Huh? And you're not going to reach that place without a revelation of the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Then when we begin to come into that mind of Christ, we will literally become strangers and foreigners to many of our acquaintances. I mean, if you got the mind of Christ, people's not going to understand you a lot of times. Is that true? Or your words and your speech will seem to be like idle tales because they just don't understand you. And it's not you're being a snob or hateful, you know, or ugly. It's just they just don't understand you by the things you say and talk about. And to enter fully into that freedom and liberty of the will of God is the beginning of the sealing of the mind. It is the beginning of the mark of God in our foreheads. Praise God. Now, Ezekiel, as I said, he saw that great destruction come into the church. Amen? And that dreadful scene that Ezekiel saw, which he saw with his own eyes, following the seal of the elect of God, is going to be reenacted at the end of this age, very soon. Did you hear what I said? Very soon. Amen. And so, the majority of people feel... let me say it this way. The majority of people feel at home in the church system because their minds have been accustomed to their surroundings. And the light of revelation never penetrates their hearts. They have become so accustomed to customs, ceremony, and tradition, they take it for granted that it is God. How many know we've been deceived by a lot of junk? Many love tradition and form and ceremony, which make the Word of God of none effect. Can you say amen to that? Many love their programs, they love their buildings and their pet doctrines. They have a little song and dance and one little happy feeling. But when it comes to crucifying the old life, the old self-life, and the old world and the old nature from us, they reject it. That's true. Elijah called fire down from heaven one day, the next day he's running from Jezebel. He's ever done exploits, the next day he's going through hell. Come on, amen? He was on the road to depression. He wanted to die. Isn't that right? And so, it happens. It happens. But God is bringing us to a place where we'll overcome. I can show you in the Psalms where David was having a nervous breakdown. But when he began to pray three times a day, he got victory over that thing in his mind, that oppression. God's able to set us free. You know, when the demoniac was set free, he was clothed in his right mind. It scared everybody. Didn't it? It scared them. And when you and I come into the full mind of Christ, it's going to scare some people in your family, your neighbors. Come on, in the world. Isn't that right? Amen. Now look in Revelation 14. Look at Revelation. Praise God. Revelation 14. Hallelujah. I like to go into every camp and preach this message. I don't care what they got on the door. Amen. Revelation 14. Now look at verse 8. After the sealing of the overcomers in verses 1 through 5, look what happens in verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon. Now if America is Babylon only, which some are saying today, and I don't deny, that it's not Babylon. But if it's only Babylon alone, how many know that if America would fall this year, how many know we'd have to be sealed this year? Who heard that? Or if it was next year? Well, how many know it could be? I don't know. But there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So once God's servants are sealed, then Babylon will fall. What is Babylon? Religiosity? Come on. Political and economics. Isn't that right? Three things, basically. And how many know it's worldwide? How many know it's in Canada, brother? Come on, it's in Europe. It's in America. It's in Asia. Everywhere. America is probably the hub of it. Amen? Now look in Revelation 17. How many believe there's another sealing taking place here? Huh? Here's a woman, got purple and scarlet colors, decked with gold and precious stones. She's a counterfeit to the real people of God, isn't she? Look at verse 5. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And where was that? Where was that ceiling? Come on, somebody help me out there tonight. On the forehead. Mystery Babylon was sealed in the forehead. That is the mind. And she sits on many waters, verse 15. How many know that's people? There's something not only in her heart, but in her mind. And we know to have the name of God in us, in our forehead, is to have the mind of Christ. Therefore, to have the name Mystery Babylon in the forehead is to have the very mind of a mysterious system that lies in the visible and can point and say, this is the tower that leads to heaven. And we know it's a lie. And today, again, Mystery Babylon is written right in the forehead of denominational systems. And when God's 144,000 are sealed, the system or the mind of the Mystery Babylon or the people that's in that system, if they don't come out of it, they're going to head to a cataclysmic destruction. What does God say in chapter 18 of Revelation? Please look with me. Look in chapter 18 of Revelation. Praise God. Look in verses 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Now, if Babylon was just America, how many of us all have to leave America? God ain't telling us to all leave America. That's a lie of the devil. God ain't telling us to leave America. If he does, that's fine. Now, that's fine if he does. But I'm saying do you know anybody he's actually telling by the droves to leave America? There may be one or two here, or three or four, something, you know, like that. But he ain't telling me to leave America. How about you? I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't really. But he ain't telling me to leave America. I mean, somebody's got to be here to pray. But he said, come out of her. Out of her who? Come on. My people, that you be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. What is her plagues? Verse 8. It's death and mourning and famine, and she's going to be burned. How many know God's going to judge that harlot system? He's going to judge America, too. He's going to judge the church, too, isn't he? Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So today, many are under the mark of the whore that's in the forehead, so deep-rooted and deep-seated that many cannot see except in terms of established orders, sects, denominations, creeds, doctrines, programs, campaigns, and church buildings. Dear Lord, I wouldn't want to be in a church having to build a new building. Let me know the church always splits half the time. Isn't that right? He that's joined to a harlot is what? One flesh. But he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. The harlot is the system and is of the flesh. The Lord is Christ, and union with him is a union of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And most of those dear people who are married to the church system have its name written in their foreheads. But at the same time, those that are joined to Christ, they have the name written in their foreheads as well. Amen. So the angel said, come out of her. Amen. Now listen to this. The whole system, the whole religious system is doomed for destruction. As sure as God is in heaven, Babylon is going to fall. Can you say amen? Nothing can be done to save her, to help her. People must come out of her, lest they receive of those terrible, wicked plagues. Now go to Colossians 2. Hallelujah. Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 8. You know, brethren, I was in a Pentecostal church for many years. I preached many, many years ago. I was in those churches, assemblies and Pentecostal Holiness, and there were all those Church of God, lovely, lovely people that I met. But God took me out of the Pentecostals. You know why? The message he was putting in me, they would not receive it. And he was sending me to people that would receive it. The last time I preached in a Pentecostal church, they didn't know one word I was saying. You know why? The system had them bound. Tradition had them bound. I mean, if we don't have a teachable spirit and open mind, you won't be taught anything. You can't go any further, can you? You stop. I mean, we got all kind of walls that needs to come down. We need to let the Holy Ghost tear them down, destroy them. Put some dynamite to them. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. How many saw that verse? The word spoil there means it means robbery and plunder. I want to tell you, most of us in the past, the church system has stolen our minds. You talk about calling souls, your soul back. You're talking about soul ties. How many know we need to call back some of those systems we've been in? They've stolen our minds. They put its name in our foreheads and made us think that gain is godliness, which is a lie. Spoil you of what, you might say? They rob you and plunder you of personal, intimate, wholehearted relationship to Jesus Christ. They rob you of his mind and plunder you of his blessed will so that you become taken up with things, things, and things. And your relationship with Jesus is forgotten in order to accomplish those things. And that's our problem. We're involved with things too much. Lastly, I want to give you three scriptures, brethren, before I call some things out. Let's go to Proverbs 8. I appreciate you listening to this word tonight. I've got a lot more, but I'm not going to go much farther tonight. How do you say that, Doc, about enduring your fanny? What did you say? Okay. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watcheth daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me will find what? Come on. Life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. When you find him, you're going to find favor. And the more you find him, you're going to find favor, aren't you? Now look in Jeremiah 29. Two more, this scripture and one more. Jeremiah 29. And I want to look at verses, look at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Anybody want to find Jesus tonight? And then we go to Psalms 119, and these truly are overcomers right here in the first few verses of Psalms 119. Hallelujah. I love this verse. And here's what it says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalms 19 said, if you walk in that law of the Lord, your soul will be restored. Then he said, blessed, he used that word again, are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity or lawlessness. They walk in his ways. I may believe they're overcomers. Anybody want to seek him with all your being? You know, God, the Lord has come into our hearts. But I'm telling you, our minds have got to be changed in this hour. And there are things in us that stop God from coming into us. Amen? If you will allow God to come in your soul, to take things out of you, just set you free, clean you up. And when midnight comes, there's no resistance. He can come right into you with his foot. I mean, that's the wise virgins of Matthew 25. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to call out some things tonight that's hindering us from allowing God to do a work in us. If you want some deliverance tonight, you can get it. Hallelujah. There are many things that's holding us back, and we don't realize it. You say amen. So let's pray tonight. Pray a prayer with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, Father, for all my lawlessness, all rebellion, being independent, going my way, doing my thing. I repent of rebellion. You demon of rebellion, You come out of me in the name of Jesus. I cast you out. I hurl you out. I throw you out. I demand you to get out of me in the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath and get them out of there. Name of Jesus. Come on, cough them out. Get them out of there. Cough them out. Name of Jesus. Come out, rebellion. All rebellion and lawlessness. Spirit of independence. Come out there. Come out. Come out, all the men and women. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to loose their minds and their hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Come on. All rebellion. Rebellion against God. Rebellion against the Word of God in Jesus' name. All right. Father God, I come against the spirit of stubbornness. You demon of stubbornness, come out of me in the name of Jesus. All right, reach down and get it out now. Come on, cough it out. Name of Jesus, all stubbornness. Stubbornness against the will of God. Stubbornness against the Word of God. Against the Holy Spirit. Stubbornness, come out. Come out, stubbornness. In Jesus' name, I command you and demand you by the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, forgive me for quenching the Holy Spirit, for doubting the Word of God, for listening to lying spirits, compromising by worldliness, familiar spirits, and witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. I command you now, all your power, to submit to the power, to the name of Jesus. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and get it out, brethren. Come on. Come on, go down and get it. Come on, get it out. Get it out. All doubt. Come on, lying spirits. All worldliness, familiar spirits, divination, witchcraft, sorcery. Come out. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. Father God, forgive me for discouragement, procrastination, slothfulness, being a sluggard, idolatry, idleness, spirit of independence, false prophets, submitting to them. I command that power of the false prophet to come out of me now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath now. Come on, all false prophets, all idolatry, procrastination, discouragement, idleness, spirit of independence, come out of us now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come on. Somebody, you need to submit to the Holy Ghost right now. You're holding back. Come on. Let it go. Who cares what your neighbor is? Let them go. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I repent of self-righteousness, self-importance, self-justification, all disobedience, all curses that's hindering me from coming into the mind of Christ. I break those curses. I go back 10 generations in my own life, and I command those curses to come out of me now, off of me now, in the name of Jesus. Come on, take a deep breath and let them go. Name of Jesus, cough them out. Go, go, in Jesus' name. Name of Jesus, break all curses. Now, Father God, forgive me all false visions, false dreams, false voices, false impressions, false signs, false wonders, false miracles, false ministries. I break the power of them off of my life. In the name of Jesus, come out of me now. Take a deep breath and let them go. Name of Jesus. Come on, get them out. Man, I'm coming out of me too. Name of Jesus. Come on, get them out. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Now I command, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of error to lose its hold on me. All spirits of Antichrist, occult spirits, false prayers, soulish praying, manipulation, intimidation, domination, spirit of Jezebel, Ahab, spirit of control, the spirit of Nicolaitans, all the demon doctrines of the Nicolaitans, all fears, horror, dread, and timidity, come out of me now in the name of Jesus. Come on, I cast you out in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath. Cough them out. Get them out of there now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. Name of Jesus. Out of our minds, out of our souls, out of our wills, out of our emotions. Come out. In Jesus' name. Now, Father God, fill me up, Lord, to capacity. Oh, fill me, Jesus. Come in me, Lord. I receive you, Lord. A new freshness. Your life. And Lord Jesus, seal me for the midnight hour. I want to do your will. In the name of Jesus, I bind the devil and I loose the Holy Ghost and God's angels in the name of Jesus to do the work in me through your word, by your power, and through your people, and through your servants in the name of Jesus. Give him praise. Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah.
Let's praise Him. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Cheryl, the Lord is with thee. The Lord has seen the struggles and the heartaches, but God said, I've heard your cry. I've seen your tears, saith the Lord, and my presence, my glory is round about thee. Fear not what man would say or do. I am with thee, my daughter. And there's coming a new pathway, a new direction from the Holy Spirit. But know that God shall show you. He shall reveal, and it shall be confirmed to others. So wait in my time, and in my time there shall be a great and a mighty change, saith the Lord. Come on, praise Him. Amen? Let's praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister, the Lord has reached out to you in this hour. The Lord has reached out to you in these meetings. His blessing, His life. Has been imparted to you. Fear not of that which God is doing in you and through thee. Know that the work shall yet be accomplished. It shall be finished, for it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And as you submit to me, then thou shalt be able to take this word back to others, saith the Lord. For I have delivered you out of the alligator's mouth, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. I saw that alligator when I gave her that word, too. Praise God. Come on, let's praise Him. Amen. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Coffee, the Lord gives you strength. The Lord stands by thy side. His angel is with thee. The angel of the Lord is in camp about you because you fear Him and you reverence Him. Yea, submit thy God to thy God even in this hour, and you'll see a great change. Yea, I'm with thee, my daughter. I will not forsake thee nor leave thee, for surely I shall give you that added strength. I shall give you ability that you have not had in the past. And God says at this time, my great reserve shall be given to you, saith the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Oh, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Brother Kyle, the Lord is opening a new door for you, my brother. He's going to send thee forth into a new avenue of ministry, into, I see, new different faces you'll go to, different color of skin, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. I say, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight. We give you honor and glory. We give you praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you. Honor you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Irma, the Lord stands with thee as well. The Lord strengthens you tonight. The Lord has heard your cry. The Lord has digged your ear. And God says, I am with thee, my daughter. Fear not. I am with thee this night. I do overshadow thee, saith the Lord God. Yea, my fire does touch thee and change thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him. Praise God. How many know that fire will change any of us if it touches us? How many want the Holy Ghost fire to change you? Let's ask God right now for it. Come on. Father God, give us that fire. Give us that change, Father, by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you for fire, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Diana, the Lord is encouraging and strengthening you as well. But I hear the word encouragement. And as the Lord strengthened Joshua, and he was encouraged, the Lord encourages you to go into the battle and win the battle and come out victorious. For that which the enemy has stolen, God said, I'm going to restore back to you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got anything else tonight, Glenn? 6 o'clock in the morning, the prayer meeting is still early tonight, so get a breakfast, 8 o'clock. Okay, may the Lord. But I want Sister Polly. Polly, where are you at? Polly, would you come up and close us in prayer? Sister Polly lives in California, and she lives in Jerusalem some, so I want her to come and close us in prayer tonight. Praise God. Say a word if you want to.
Thank you so much. Father God, in the precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, We just come before you with grateful and thankful hearts for all that you are, Father. And Lord, for all that you're doing. And Lord, we would say too, Father, give us teachable spirits, Father, that we might learn and that we might grow in you, Father, that you may make yourself so manifest within us. And we would say, come quickly, Lord Yeshua, within us and back to this earth, Father. Oh, Father, we pray your special blessings upon these people, Father, because you've brought them here. And, Father, I know that not one is here by accident, but as a divine appointment. And, Lord, I pray that from this night on that we might go forth, each one of us, Father, and be your feet and your hands and let you come alive within us, Father. Seal to the day of redemption, Father. Praise your holy name. I praise you for this brother, our brother, Father. I praise you for letting our lives and our come together here. And I pray that you would richly bless his work, Father, and help him to just lead him in your divine paths, Father, to those who would receive your truth. This is the day of truth, Father, that we should throw off the shackles and the bondages that have kept us and held us in prison. Allow you to be our God, Father. Allow you to be all that you want to be for this moment in time, Father. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the salvation of your people Israel, Lord, the whole house of Israel. And Lord, as we go out from here, go with us, Father. Go with us, Father, and let it just be begun, Father. Because that's where the church is. It's within us. We are your people, Father, the sheep of your pasture. And never let us lose sight for a moment. Give us, continue to give us new truth. Awaken us and give us understanding, Father. And give us your mind, Father, sealed with the precious mind of Yeshua. In his precious name we pray.
And it's a joy and a blessing to be here.
Our first song we'd like to do is called Angels Everywhere. Thank you. And I certainly am glad that the Lord does have angels that watches over us and camps round about us. And I'm so glad that he watched over us on the way over here today. And I'm glad that he watches over us every day. And for next song, our children's going to do one called The Old Rugged Cross.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.